Well, last week I began a series on heaven. And the subject of heaven is amazingly popular both in the Christian and the non-Christian worlds. People want to know about heaven because everyone is aware of their own mortality. And many people believe that indeed there is something beyond the grave. Christians and non-Christians believe that there must be more to life than this. If you go to bookstores today, you'll find that there are numbers of books that people have written that claim they have had near-death experiences. Some of them claim that they've been either to heaven or to hell. There was a movie made in 2015, and it was called 90 Minutes in Heaven. It was based on a book that was written by a pastor. I think he lived in the United States. And he wrote his book in 2007 with the same title, 90 Minutes in Heaven. And in his book, the pastor claims that he was killed instantly by a semi-trailer that crashed into his car whilst he was coming home from a church conference. And in the book, he apparently spent 90 minutes in heaven before he came back to life. This is what the pastor wrote in the book. On page 33 of his book, he said, "If I had actually seen God, I would never have wanted to return. My feeling has been that once we're actually in God's presence, we will never return to earth again, because it will be empty and meaningless by comparison." Now, what's wrong with what that pastor said? Well, his book's titled 90 Minutes in Heaven. So he claims he went to heaven. The presence of God was not in heaven. He's wrong. Isaiah 6 verse 1, "In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Revelation 4 2, "And immediately I was in the spirit," this is John speaking, "and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." God was there. Revelation 7 15, "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them." How can a pastor be killed, go to heaven, come back, and indicate that he didn't find the presence of God in heaven? We need to be careful about books that relate near-death experiences. The information on heaven and hell is it's not found in regards to someone claiming that they've been there and have come back, but the information that we have on heaven and hell is in the scriptures. It's not in near-death experiences. It's what the scriptures say about heaven and hell. Beware of books on near-death experiences. You know, something interesting as I've been studying this, if you go through the Bible, go from Genesis right up to Revelation, and it's actually absent in the records of near-death experiences of the saints. Go right through. Let me give you just a couple of examples. Remember Lazarus? Well, Lazarus actually came back from the dead, John chapter 11. The Lord Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, and Lazarus comes out of the grave. But you read the story of Lazarus and his subsequent little account of his life. He's sitting at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus is completely silent on his experience beyond the grave. 4 days he was in the grave. Lazarus says nothing about the time that he was in the grave. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus takes Peter, James and John to a high mountain. On that mountain, the disciples have a vision of Moses and Elijah appearing, and they were talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses had died over 1,000 years before. But there is nothing recorded in that conversation with the Lord Jesus that Moses and Elijah ever said about life beyond the grave. Remember Jairus' daughter. In Luke chapter 8, she died. Jesus raised her from the dead. Not a word was recorded by her of what it was like when she'd passed away. In Matthew chapter 27, there is a massive resurrection of God's people. Matthew 27:52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, that's after the resurrection of Jesus, and they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. A massive resurrection in the city of Jerusalem. People that have been dead, the Old Testament saints, there's a massive resurrection, and there's not one account of them talking with people about what was beyond the grave. Go on a bit further, Acts chapter 9. Peter's brought to a house where Dorcas had died. Peter goes in and he prays near the body of Dorcas, and he tells Dorcas to arise, Luke 9:40, and she does. Dorcas comes back from the dead, and there's not a word in the scriptures that Dorcas said anything of what was beyond the grave. Acts chapter 7. Stephen is brought. Now people will say, oh, Stephen had a near-death experience. You remember Stephen? Acts chapter 7, he looks up into the heavens and he sees the Lord Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. It wasn't a near-death experience. When Stephen saw the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father, he hadn't even been taken away to be stoned. He was before the Jewish council. Before the Jewish council, before he was stoned, he looked up into heaven and he had the vision of the Lord Jesus. That was not a near-death experience. When John relates his vision of heaven in Revelation 4-5, it's whilst John is alive, he's on the island of Patmos, and it's while he's alive, John had not died. When Paul tells us that he's caught up to the third heaven, he does not specifically say that he experienced a death and a resurrection. Let me read you his account. 2 Corinthians 12:1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So Paul doesn't say this was a near-death experience. If the scriptures are silent on near-death experiences, then we should be very dubious of others that state they have gone to heaven or gone to hell and that they've come back again. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus shows us the fate of two men, the rich man and Lazarus. One went to the place of paradise and the other went to the place of punishment after they died. The rich man in Luke chapter 16 wanted Lazarus to come back from the dead to warn his brothers of the place of punishment that was called Hades. The King James translates it as hell. He wanted Lazarus to go back and warn his brothers. But if you read Luke 16:31, and Jesus is speaking about this account, Jesus says this: if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So Jesus is saying they need to hear Moses and the prophets. They need to hear the word of God, even above if someone came back from the dead. They don't believe Moses, they don't believe the prophets, then they will not be convinced if someone came back from the dead. Our teaching on heaven and hell must be based on what the scripture says and not on what people say who claim that they have come back from the dead. The writer writes that they went to heaven, but the presence of God was not there. Then you've got to doubt what that writer said, even if he's a pastor. If someone writes that they went to heaven and they saw God's people having wings and Jesus having a rainbow-coloured horse, like I spoke about last week, you don't believe them. Scriptural revelation is our authority on life and death matters. Scripture is our authority on heaven and hell, and not a perceived experience of any man or woman who claims to come back from the dead. Sadly today, in many churches, in many areas, human experience triumphs over scriptural authority. And that's wrong. Human experience is not to be taken as a revelation of God. The scriptures must be taken as a revelation of God. The Bible says a lot about heaven and hell. Heaven indeed is a real place. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord Jesus is preparing a place for every person that has trusted in him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about the wonderful future of every believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, Paul says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." God reveals to us, through the Scriptures, by his Holy Spirit, what heaven is like. God reveals the only details of heaven that we need to know by his Holy Spirit through the words. Well, it's quite clear that when a believer dies, they go immediately into the presence of the Lord. Remember in Luke chapter 23, there is the thief on the cross, and Jesus gave him that tremendous promise. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That very day, as that man looked in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus gave him the assurance that he would be with him in God's place called paradise. Well, what was paradise? Well, paradise was the place where believers were until they ascended bodily with the Lord Jesus into heaven. Paradise was where the Old Testament saints went. Paradise was where the people went that were righteous, the people that were believers. That was the place they went, a place where they would be with other fellow believers. But it was a place where they went until they waited for the Lord Jesus to be risen from the grave. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." The Lord Jesus went up to heaven at the ascension, and when he went up to heaven, the Old Testament saints went up to heaven then with him, not before. Ephesians 4 verse 8 says, "When he ascended up on high," that's the Lord Jesus, "he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." So the Lord Jesus, I believe, when he went to the grave, he descended to this place which was called Hades, and he went to the paradise side of Hades. There was two compartments. On one side of Hades, there was the punishment side. On the other side, there was the paradise side, and there was a great gap between those two sides. So the unbeliever in Jesus' day, and the Old Testament unbeliever, and the unbeliever today, when they die, they go to a place called Hades, translated as hell in the King James Version. And they're waiting there until they receive the resurrection of their body. And I believe the scriptures that tell us that they'll be brought before the great white throne judgment. So they'll be brought up from Hades to receive a resurrection body to then go into the lake of fire. So what happened? is when a person dies now as a believer, they are caught up. They immediately go to the third heaven because the place called paradise actually was transferred. All those saints in paradise were transferred to heaven, which is the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 2, he indicates that I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows, such as one caught up to the third heaven. Now look what he calls the third heaven in verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So paradise, the people in paradise have now moved to the third heaven. So when a believer dies today, they go to the third heaven, which is what Paul called paradise. I told you about the third heaven last week. The first heaven is where Qantas flies. The second heaven is where NASA flies. The third heaven is where the believer flies. Every single person that has trusted Christ as Saviour. Where are the Old Testament saints now? Well, they are in heaven. Where are the bodies of the Old Testament saints? 40 days after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, and I believe they bodily ascended into heaven, where they are now in paradise up in the third heaven. When believers die today, their body goes into the grave. That's where the body goes. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, if you're a Christian, there are some people that believe that when a believer dies, they go to sleep and they wait there for a general resurrection. They wait for the last day where everyone will be raised up on the last day. Well, the scriptures don't indicate that. In actual fact, the scriptures indicate that there are several resurrections. If you're a Christian, you don't just die and your body goes into the grave and you sleep there for a couple of thousand years until the general resurrection. No, according to Paul, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So your soul and your spirit go to be with the Lord, but your body goes into the grave, and it stays in the grave, I believe, until the rapture of the church. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. So the soul and spirit are with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonour, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now this is talking about the rapture of the church. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shouts, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What's going to happen at the rapture is that the souls and spirits of the believers, I'm talking about the church here as far as the rapture is concerned, the believers in Christ, the souls and spirits are going to come back and their bodies are going to be raised, and then if we're alive, we are going to be raised and we're going to be instantly changed. Here's a question. If people now are in heaven, I'm talking about believers in Jesus Christ, the bride, if people are now in non-resurrection bodies in heaven, can they be recognised? So the believer in Christ now, his body's in the grave. We're waiting for the rapture. We're waiting for the change. We're waiting for our body to be resurrected and changed and taken back to heaven. Well, what happens? Can they be recognised in heaven if their body's in the grave and it hasn't been brought out yet? Well, I believe yes. I'll give you a couple of reasons why I believe that. In Matthew 17, verse 3, and I talked about the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appear talking with the Lord Jesus. And Moses and Elijah at that time had not received their resurrection bodies. So I believe they had a spiritual body that could be recognised indeed as Moses and Elijah. Another point, Luke 16:22. Our reading was from Luke 16. The rich man in Hades recognised both Abraham and Lazarus, who had passed away. But Abraham and Lazarus had not received their resurrection bodies. So if you've got a loved one in heaven right now, a person that was part of the bride of Christ, a person that knew the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe they have a spiritual body in heaven which is clearly recognised. But I believe they'll ultimately get a resurrection body. When I understand, what I understand is now that the believer dies, as I mentioned, they go into the presence of the Lord, but they're waiting for their earthly body. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the last trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. My earthly body is not fit for the heavenly realms, and neither is yours. Sorry about that. But we're not fit to go to heaven as we are. My earthly body has been corrupted by sin, and it's not fit for heaven. Judy and I have been scuba diving a couple of times. Been up in Queensland there, been up to the Barrier Reef. Now, if you go scuba diving, you soon realise that there is another world that awaits you under the sea. It's an incredible world. You see things that you've never ever seen before. How many people have been scuba diving? No one. I recommend you all try it. It's great. There's a world down below like you've never seen before. But you know, before I went scuba diving and I saw this other world, my body had to be fitted out. I had to have flippers. I had to have a weight belt because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to go down to the depths. I had to have a wetsuit so I didn't freeze. I had to have a face mask so I could see clearly through the salt water. Now, what else did I have to have? Well, for survival, I had to have an air tank. And it was needful for me to be fitted out in all this sort of different gear so when I'm in a totally different realm, I could survive. Well, you and I are going to be fitted out for glory. In heaven, we're going to have this wonderful body, a resurrection body that will be indeed changed. The Bible says this in 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to have resurrected bodies like the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, in his resurrection body, could do things that we could not do. For instance, the Lord Jesus could ascend to heaven. He could just take off from the earth. The Lord Jesus could come into a locked room in his resurrection body. The Lord Jesus could appear and disappear. Marvellous. I'm looking forward to a resurrection body. Philippians 3 verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Now, do you think they'll recognise us in our resurrection bodies? I believe that. I believe we'll know David's David, and we'll know Judy's Judy, and you'll know me's me, because we are, from the moment of conception, we are created as individual human beings. But we're not just created for 40, 50, 60, 70 years to die. We're created as that individual human being at the moment of conception, and that human being goes on for all eternity, whether a person knows Jesus Christ or not. And God has made us as individuals. Think about Jesus. Jesus was at times not recognised in his resurrection body, and at other times he was clearly recognised in his resurrection body. John 21 verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, that's John, John said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged it into the sea. This is after the Lord Jesus had risen from the grave. There were times where the Lord Jesus was not recognised, but there were times where the Lord Jesus was clearly recognised. On the road to Emmaus is another example. The disciples didn't recognise the Lord Jesus at first. Luke 24 verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us. For it is toward evening and the day is far spent." What hymn do we get from that? Anyone know what we get from Luke chapter 24? "Abide with us, abide with me." Anyone heard that hymn? That's where it comes from, Luke chapter 24. "Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. They hadn't recognised who this stranger on the road to Emmaus was until this. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. I need to say that I believe that we're still going to have the distinctions. We're not going to get married in heaven. I don't believe that. But I believe that we're still going to have the distinctions of male and female in heaven. Jesus Christ was recognised as a male. Moses and Elijah were recognised clearly of who they were men. Jesus was recognised as a man in his resurrection body. The Bible says in Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. I believe that we'll still keep the physical distinctions of male and female in heaven in our resurrection bodies. Another verse for that would be Revelation 4 verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Elders in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament are always male. In Revelation chapter 4 verse 4, you see elders, so you see there's a distinction here. These are 24 men in glory. I think there'll also be racial distinctions in heaven. I think we'll still be Aussies. For those of you that are Aussies, I think we're still going to be Australian. For people that are Africans, they're going to be Africans, I believe. For Fijians, they'll be Fijians. Well, you might say, where's the Bible verse? Well, Revelation 7 verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." If you look at the millennial, the future, there's going to be Gentile nations, there's going to be Jewish nations. I don't see any reason why there won't be a multitude of nations in heaven. Well, just a couple of other things very quickly. Do you think that we'll eat and drink in our resurrection bodies? No, I believe we will. The Bible doesn't say Christians will eat in their resurrection bodies. The Bible doesn't say that, but I think there's a couple of clues. I'll go into this next week, but what I believe is that if you read Revelation chapter 21, the heavenly city is going to come down upon this earth. So believers are actually going to come from heaven in that heavenly city, and they're going to dwell on this earth. And I believe in resurrection bodies, we are actually going to eat and drink. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Did Adam eat and drink pre-sin states? He did. He ate and drank pre-sin states. Of course. Now, have a look at Luke chapter 24, verse 39. It says this. Jesus said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is, I myself, handle me." This is after his resurrection. "And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. The Lord Jesus in his resurrection body, he ate. He ate before them. We're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 29, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Luke 22, 29, "And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." For those of you that thought that you were going to get a resurrection body and you were going to be on an eternal diet, I think the good news is no. In the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, they ate. In the future kingdom, the saints of God are going to eat with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19 verse 9, "Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed and holy is he who is part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Well, we've learned a little bit about heaven today. You know, the only people that are going to heaven are forgiven people. The only people that are going to heaven are washed people. The only people that are going to heaven are Jesus people, people that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. I'm looking forward to a body that is not confined by the things on this earth. I'm looking forward to a body that one day will be incorruptible. I'm looking forward to the fact that I will recognise Moses, I will recognise Abraham, I will recognise Elijah, and I will recognise every single person here that has accepted Jesus Christ as Saviour. Here's the question, are you going to heaven? This world is passing away, it will soon vanish. Our bodies are crumbling, they're ageing, they're getting old. But we look forward to the time that we can have a new body in a new location and where we can worship at the feet of the Lord Jesus, who went to the cross of Calvary and died there for our sins. The Bible says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I trust that you are going to heaven. I need to say you are not going to heaven if you're trusting the fact that because I'm a Catholic, or because I'm a Baptist, or because I'm a C of E, or because I'm a Methodist, or because I'm a Charismatic, or because I'm a Pentecostal, that's the reason why I'm going to heaven. No, you know, there's no denominations in heaven. There's only blood-bought people, people that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to heaven, and I hope you are too. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people.